Good morning, Symphony Church. Today we'll be looking at the first half of 2 Samuel 18, and I will read that for us. 2 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 18. Then David mustered the men who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent out the army, one-third under the command of Joab, one-third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the command of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the men, "I myself will also go out with you." But the men said, "You shall not go out, for if we flee, they will not care about us. If half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, it is better that you send us help from the city." The king said to them, "Whatever seems best to you, I will do." So the king stood at the side of the gate, while all the army marched out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. And the men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the loss there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword. And Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Joab said to the man who told him, "What, you saw him? Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have been glad to give you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." But the man said to Joab, "Even if I fell to my hand the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not reach out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, for my sake, protect the young man Absalom. On the other hand, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof." Joab said, "I will not waste time like this with you." And he took 3 javelins in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor-bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the troops came back from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained them. And they took Absalom and threw him into a great pit in the forest and raised over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, every one to his own home. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself the pillar that is in the king's valley, for he said, "I have no son to keep my name in remembrance." He called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. So in today's passage, we arrive at the end of the story of Absalom. For those of you who have joined us recently in our journey through 1 and 2 Samuel, Absalom, David's son, had defected from his father's kingship and initiated a coup that forced David off the throne and into hiding. Absalom grew more and more reckless as he took David's place as king of Israel, and after being a little overzealous in his desire to face off against his father in battle, Absalom and David's armies finally meet. Of course, we know that God desired David to be the victor and for Absalom to be defeated, and that's exactly what happens. Absalom's armies are completely dismantled in the battle, and Absalom himself dies a humiliating death, stuck suspended from a tree. You know, Absalom's downfall and death shouldn't really surprise anyone. He was a reprehensible, foolhardy, and prideful man, and he pretty much just gets what's coming to him at long last. But what strikes me in today's passage is how much David desired to spare his son. Absalom had dug himself into his own grave. He had mocked and disrespected and challenged David and set himself against the hand of the Lord in the process. David knew that Absalom deserved to be put to death for his disobedience and insubordination, And yet, he tells his generals, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. The wrong takeaway here is that David is such a kind and caring soul who loved his son very much. Those things are true, yes. But actually, we see in the story of David and Absalom that one of David's largest flaws is his lack of punishment for his children. We saw it with Amnon and with Absalom time and time again, and in all his dealings with his children, David just can't seem to show any backbone. David's desire to deal gently with Absalom here might not be the most admirable thing, but I think what we can acknowledge is that David really yearned to spare his son. He felt in his heart of hearts that he wanted to treat Absalom kindly. Something I've been learning about myself and everyone around me is that when we feel strong emotions, it can feel like the truest thing in the world. When we feel great love or hate or jealousy or panic, all of our decisions are often made by those very same emotions. I'm sure David wanted to listen to his heart. I'm sure every alarm bell was ringing and telling him, just call off the battle, you know, keep Absalom safe. And yet, David sent out his army. He executed the will of the Lord in reclaiming Israel for good and ridding the throne of the evil that sat on it, even if that evil was his own son. Yes, David hemmed and hawed and tried to get his generals to show a little gentleness toward Absalom, but in the end, he obeyed the Lord. David put God's will above his emotions. I think it shows us whose voice was louder in David's mind. Was it his own, or was it the Lord's? I'm a pretty emotion-driven guy, and so I really relate to David's struggle here. But maybe for you, it's not quite that. Perhaps, instead, the voice that competes for the controls in your mind is success, comfort, a need for justice, approval, self-satisfaction. There are a lot of biases and drives within us that can cause us to look at all the wrong decisions and say, that sounds good to me. But instead, let's make the voice of our Father louder than any of the others. Just as David, as emotional as he was able to put God's will above his heart, let's commit to following God's will for us, even if it comes at great cost. Let's take some time this morning to really just reflect and to pray to the Spirit that we can hear God's voice over all the voices in our heads. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that as we go out today, as we face a lot of different situations that cause us to react with certain biases, with certain desires in our minds, I pray that more than those things, what influences us, what is the deciding factor in all of the decisions we make, may it be you. May it be your commands, your will for us, your love that transforms our hearts. Lord, I pray that we can lay down any of these desires that we have, good or bad as they might be, because what you desire for us is so much more important in our hearts. Spirit, would you come? Would you make that possible for us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.